Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 31st day of January, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Roundtable with James Lancia. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His Holy Remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai and Bora Da, Cumri Ambith. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody contacting this call, either by computer or phone, will be muted until such time as they indicate they wish to join the conversation, and then I will unmute you from my end. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and again, that's Pastor Dan with no spaces or special characters, just plain old pastordan.net. We do have a daily mail page there, since the Jews are doing everything they can to censor information getting out there, especially truthful information. So I do recommend that you check the Daily Mail page frequently for any current events that might be appropriate. We are giving a trigger warning for this broadcast. So for folks with small children or elderly folks or just people who are easily triggered by language or topics, I want you to understand something. Our guest today is a former police officer. He's a patriot, and he's pissed off, okay, at the state of our country and of our people. And this is a trigger warning that, again, if you are easily offended by language or topics that we talk about, you might want to just stop listening at this point. James has not yet called in. I told him to wait till about five after. But the point I want to make is, again, James gave me fair warning that he's not happy. He's not here to make friends. He's here to wake up lions and to let us know what a dire situation our people are in all over this earth. And for that reason, he's not going to walk on eggshells or pussyfoot around. He's simply going to speak from the heart as we cover the different topics on our list. And so, again, this is a trigger warning that if you happen to be a person who doesn't like certain topics or is offended by passion and language, you might not want to listen to this program. But for the men out there, the lions in particular, I think it'll be a message for you. We definitely want to follow what that meme I sent out recently says. It's not our job to wake up sheep. It is our job to wake up the lions. And I still like the quote of Alexander the Great. I do not fear an army of lions who are led by a sheep, but I do fear an army of sheep led by a lion. So, just remember all that. I do also want to remind you, I've made Adam here, who sits out in California, and he gets up early for this broadcast, and we do appreciate that, but Adam has taken on the job as co-host, so he can monitor the chat room, which I have a very hard time doing, and if he thinks it's something I need to be made aware of, he will notify me or jump on the call. And he can also keep an eye out for trolls that might come into the chat room and try to disrupt the program. Also, before we get started, I do want to remind everybody, at times, I give whoever the guest is as much time as they need to make their points. Today will be no exception to that rule. I'm sure James, at times, will have a certain train of thought going, and this will require that I give him the floor for an extended period of time so he can make his point, and then we'll join in discussion. So if he gets off on a rant, don't get upset by that. This isn't so much about making friends or even placating me as the host of the program. This is more a platform for James, who has been censored, by the way, and he has been censored all the way back to 2017 because he's a very outspoken former police officer about the state of the country and also the state of law enforcement in the United States and in other white nations, by the way. So again, I think if you maintain a open mind and you're here to learn, shall we say, I think you're going to enjoy what James has to say. Now, he should be calling in any second now if he can get through. So sometimes the powers that be make it difficult for our people. And I'm looking to see if he's, able to do it. Again, I have been given notification from folks that at times when they tried to call in, they had difficulty. So, like I said, any second now, I expect to see our guest, and I will be sorely disappointed if he's not able to contact us. I do know also up in the Northeast, they are experiencing very severe winter weather right now. I've heard from several people all the way from Maryland up through Pennsylvania into New England that they are expecting severe snowstorm, and that may hamper communications to some degree, but we'll see. But here again, okay, let me read my verse then while we're waiting for James. Psalm 86, verse 5, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, abundant in loving kindness to all those who call on you." So again, you know, a lot of our people think our Heavenly Father is a genie in a bottle, and all they have to do is wish for good things, money, bigger home, better lovers, whatever, and our Father's just like a genie in a bottle, supposed to give it to you. But if you read the scriptures carefully, there's always conditions. Everybody says he has unconditional love. That's not true. Most of the scriptures are conditional. And this one is as well. So it says there that he is good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness. Yeah, that's true. To those who call on him. Or you could even go to the scriptures that talk about calling upon his name. In other words, have faith in him and call upon his name. So don't ever forget that. I'm trying to, as we're talking here, text James and find out if everything is okay. I sure hope he is able to call in because he told me what he wanted to talk about. It would be very beneficial for him to do so. I can see from the people calling in here, let's see, we got at least one. One person was able to call in. I think that's Chris. Excuse me. Let's see. While we're waiting for James, I have been in touch with a real estate person in the state of Florida, and they've let me know that there's a worldwide organization with substantial funds interested in helping people set up communities. But I have not yet found out what strings are attached, so depending on where this money's coming from, there may be too many strings attached. However, if they are legitimate, it is a possible way for the ARC project, or at least a form of the ARC project, not strictly ARC project, because if you have people who are financing your operation, they're going to have some say. Okay, that's just the way the world works. Okay, they're going to have some say in what you do with their money. And that's the sad part. You know, I'm looking into crowdfunding for a possible way to fund the ARC project to set up communities where we can live very much like the Amish. But we are not having a lot of success in that area as far as getting people who wish to either donate land or funds to make that possible. So it remains a very strong desire within our people to separate, again, much like the Amish, to separate out of this Babylonian hellhole that we find ourselves existing in, and to come out of it and just simply say, you know, leave us alone. Hold on a minute, I got James calling me, so bear with me. Adam, if you want to come in and cover for me for a second.
Hey guys. Not sure what cover means, but I'm happy to yabber a little. As far as that ARC project goes, it's all I think about, so I don't know if anyone listening is in the chat wants to collaborate with us on that project. Definitely let myself or Dan know, because that's what we need to do. I think we can all agree on that. Anyway, I'm just putting on my headset real quick, so...
Looks like we got Angel, Henry's in, all right.
Okay, I just heard from James, and he'll be calling in here any second. He got sidetracked at home for a little bit. So as soon as he's able to call in and log in, we should be good to go. Thanks a lot, Adam. Amazing sometimes. Again, you know, it's kind of funny. This is a shoestring budget operation, small time, obviously. But it, in a way, it's kind of nice because it's not so rigid and all that garbage to where you're in a very tight format, etc., etc. All righty. Is that you, James?
Yeah, that's me. Am I coming in?
Yep. You could be just a tiny bit louder. I don't know. Maybe you're not too close to your mic.
All right. Hold on. How's that?
That's better. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about the delay. I got tied up and I just lost track of time. I hope your listeners don't get pissed about that. But.
No, I was just going over the trigger warning and some of that stuff. Also, to let people know that you wrote a book called Downtown White Police, which is still available on Amazon. And if you want details about James's background, go back to the archives on our website, PastorDan.net, and go to the year 2017, and you'll see a program on March 15th, which is 0315, and that's the first program James and I did where he goes into a lot of detail about the book and his past. He also did several other shows with me in 2017 and 2018, so you can go back there and get a lot more details. But for the audience we have here today, James, if you want to bring them up to speed a little bit, you can do that.
Okay, yeah, I think it's important for them to know that I'm just not someone that's popping into the scene right now. You know, I had my own YouTube channel. It was fairly successful, and, you know, it was shadow banned from the beginning. Now that I know, once I found out what shadow banning is, they did block me from YouTube very early on, sometime in 2017. The book I wrote, because it's all about exposing things, and I exposed a lot of things even back then, back in 2015, from a police officer's perspective, and it's not all pro-police or anything. I'm very anti-police state, very anti what police are looking like they are today. Now, just to let other people know, I was a kind of cop that was very aggressive going after the bad guys, and that always brought a lot of trouble on me, just like it does for any other cop that is aggressive trying to go after the bad guys. Another thing they may not know is I wrote directly to President Trump when he just won, you know, the election. I wrote him a letter talking about South Africa, how I wanted to apply. I applied to the State Department to become the South African ambassador. I also offered to do the job in the letter free of charge, no pay. I wanted to help the white Christians in South Africa. I'm very well versed on what's going on there. I had a lot of connections with fairly important people in South Africa, including people in the government. And so I knew what I was talking about. I was backed by a lot of good people back there. But, of course, I wasn't even acknowledged, and Trump ended up picking a Jewish female handbag salesperson, okay, for the job after a couple of years. So I also exposed in my letter the fact that the current South African ambassador, the black guy that was picked, I forgot his name, picked by Obama, was really bad for South Africa. And believe it or not, that may have led to to Trump's firing of him early on. I don't think I could take the credit for that, but I'd like to think that at least me mentioning that might have led to his being fired, and they were without a real ambassador there for several years. So other than that, we can talk about what the situation we're in now. I am a Christian. I'm not a denominational Christian. I have no denomination, but soldier of Christ. I think the denominations have all done nothing but to split our people apart and to cause confusion into where we are right now and what a Christian's role needs to be. I hope I covered some of it. You want to ask me anything, Dan? It's up to you now.
Well, we covered, like I said, the shows that they can go back to. I also gave the trigger warning, so you're free to speak from the heart at will here on the program. I think right now people need to know just how serious crap is in this world right now. So if you want to go off on that area first to set the stage as we get into these other topics, but from your perspective as a former police officer and a patriot and a believer, what you see going on, including this worshiping of Trump, you want to cover any of that stuff, I'm just going to turn the mic over to you until you're ready to get back into a dialogue.
Okay. It's a good question. There are many ways to look at it. From a believer and from people that may not believe, it's going to affect them too. So let's go from the point of a believer. Please remind me if I forget it. We'll go from the point of a Christian. We'll go from a point of a secular person. And we'll go from the point of a police officer. So starting off with believers, we must know that we are in the times of revelations. It cannot be, again, we don't know exactly when, but we have to know that this is prophesied. We cannot deny it any longer. And your present congregation excluded, I don't know what they're teaching in churches today, but they're teaching the wrong thing. It's either complacency or it's the rapture. And the rapture is a false ideology that most Christians aspire to. It is false. It is not in the Old Testament. There's no support of rapture. The word itself isn't even in Scripture. The only way we're going to be taken up with Christ is after the tribulation. Then we'll be taken up with him. Those are his words himself. We cannot fall into this false Zionist rapture thing. Now, that all comes from, I do believe it's the Scofield Bible, and that was the Bible was rewritten by a former Jewish man who said he converted to Christianity, and the first thing he did was rewrite the Bible. So that just tells you. Now, if any Christian is falling for that false ideology, you're in for a very, very big surprise. All it did was cause complacency in the Christian community, and that's exactly what Satan wants at this point. We'll go back into the Christian aspect a little bit later in how we can combat this. Let's go to the secular view. Not that I care about that, but even for people that don't believe in Christ, they have to understand that the global point of view is in your face. It's telling you by Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, they want exactly what they're telling you: enslavement, chipping, microchipping for this new digital monetary system. Everything that the Bible has spoken about and prophesied about is being talked about by the globalist community. And by the way, globalist equals Satanist. Anybody, and Jesus said it himself, remember, anyone who is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. The world is the global system. Get it through your heads. I'm not talking to you, Dan. I know you already know this. A lot of your listeners already know this. Don't take it the wrong way. I'm talking for those people that don't seem to get it right now. If you understand what I'm saying, then we are in agreement. Okay, I'm talking about a lot of the Christian community. Okay, but back to the secular. Even secularly, the world is telling you what they want. They are actually showing you what they want right now. With this fake pandemic, we got to stop giving this pandemic even credence by saying, oh, well, we can handle it in different ways. No, it is not real. It is just a whatever it is, there's a 99.99% chance of surviving it, which is probably the flu. There's no cases of flu anymore. And so, and they're pushing this with fear porn on all the mainstream, and they want to vax you. The idea is to get you vaxxed, and that is something everybody should be concerned about. Whether you're a Christian or not, you've got to be concerned with the vaccine. That is what they want in you more than anything. Looking at it, now, of course, we can elaborate on that a little later. As a police officer, what troubles me is what police officers all around the world are looking like, including here in the U.S., letting criminals get away with things, kneeling before Black Lives Matter, allowing Black Lives Matter and Antifa to burn and destroy the city and even kill people, okay? And cops have bowed down to it and kneeled before it. Literally, they've done that. And retreated before burning mobs. And then they go and attack people that don't wear masks. Look at it all over. Look at the videos with cops enforcing the mask, the distance rules, and all that other stuff. They're diabolical. They're not recognizable as police officers. Call me naive, but I got on the job when I was 18 years old. I grew up on the job in the worst place imaginable. Our crime was rated the worst crime in the United States per capita at the time. And I worked in some of the worst neighborhoods. I grew up on the job. I saw it. Nobody can tell me what being a cop is. I made many, many, many serious felony arrests. Okay, I took real bad guys off the street. That's why I had to write that book. Okay, I had to tell the truth about race, policing, and everything else. And the cops today all over the world are not acting like the good guys any longer. They are New World Order enforcers. Whether they agree with what they're doing or not, if you're still doing it, if you're enforcing what they're doing, look at Europe. They're water cannoning people. All they want to do is go back to work. All they want to do is go outside. So cops today, even in the U.S., notwithstanding the good ones, but I don't know how much I could support them anymore if they're going to just be part of the system, if they're going to follow orders. And to be honest with you, if they're going to oppress us and say, I'm sorry, guys, I don't agree with it, but I got to feed my family, then you're part of that. You're part of the system that's taken over. And the military. Now, I know there's a lot of ex-military here, but we got to wake up to the fact that the military is all part of this. And if they're going to obey orders that are going to enslave us, they're no good either. So we got to stop worshiping the blue. We got to stop worshiping the military and really got to get off the Trump worship. Trump is part of it. I never believed anything. I didn't believe Trump was going to be as bad as he did. I never believed Q. Q was a psyop right from the beginning. I never believed it. But Trump, I put videos about Trump. I said, look, he's not my best pick for president, but he would be better than Hillary Clinton. I mean, he said he was going to lock her up. He said all the nice things we needed to hear after 8 years of Obama. He did nothing. The country was destroyed under his watch. Hillary Clinton, from the first day of his inauguration, he said he was proud to have the Clintons at his inauguration. They served their country well. His first day in office, he lied to us. That's what set me off realizing this guy is full of shit. He knew the Clintons before. He partied with them. He knew Epstein. He borrowed money from George Soros. He put Goldman Sachs people in his cabinet. He hired nothing but swamp creatures. He kept Comey in as the FBI director. He kept Rosenstein in there. All these people that were against him, supposedly. He hired Barr, a New World Order, attorney general. All that did was give him something to complain about that nothing could get done. Well, you know what, people? After a while, we got to realize that Trump is the swamp he always was, and he still is. Don't fall for anything. We should demand more from any elected official, regardless of what party they are. Even if Biden's in there now, we should demand to be represented, not punished because you're a Republican and they're Democrats. That's the problem. We've allowed Democrat and Republican, left and right, to dictate who's in power and who gets tyranny shoved down their throat just because they're in the wrong political party. We cannot accept that. We need to be represented regardless of who's in office. But we don't demand that. All we do is get told, well, we better get more conservatives in there or more Republicans in there. It has done nothing. When the Republican Party had 2 years dominating the Congress, the Senate, and having the president in there, they still didn't pass anything of any significance. And you know, we could go on for days about that. But, I'm not going to beat a dead horse when you should already know what's going on. So I hope I touched it a little bit. At least you know where I stand on this. Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think a lot of people, it's our nature. We want to believe that somebody's telling us the truth and that it won't come to violence and that there's somebody trying to do a good thing. But you're right. I remember back in 2016 and then when he was inaugurated in 2017, many of us said at that time, what the hell happened? You know, on the campaign trail, he was saying the right things, and now all of a sudden he's in office, and already he's backtracked on a lot of the stuff that he told us in there. So why anybody's really surprised that Trump is a fraud like all the rest of them? But here again, why are we looking to government to fix the problems that government created? No matter who it is, whether it's Trump or anybody else, this system's broke. This political system's broke beyond repair. At least that's the way I see it.
Well, you're seeing it right. Because no matter what, we're past the times where pastors are going to tell you, well, just obey the government. When the government didn't oppress you and they said, just, you know, we basically had the same system of law from the beginning, you know, don't steal, don't do this, that's fine. But we have laws now that are actually going to steal your soul. I mean, they want to chip you. That is biblical. If you believe in anything that you read in Scripture, you got to believe that this shit is coming down. And now, here's the thing. You touched upon the right thing. We cannot outvote what's happening. This system is completely controlled. And whether you want to call it Masons, Zionists, secular, Talmudic Jews, we know that. They're all powerful. They got their minions in there, and not only that, they got all their foot soldiers. They got the deluded masses. Remember, they have a system now where they're saying some people are non-essential, and then they got all their foot soldiers, the cops, the firemen, the workers, you know, the health workers, and they're saying you're essential. We'll give you your paycheck. So half of the population, they starve out. The other half, they pay and give them the comforts and keep them working for them because most people don't want to go against a system that's feeding them. So this is how they split us up. And the division is absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, you look at the right, the supposed right. Let me get this clear right now. I am not a fucking Republican. I am not a fucking Democrat. I am not a fucking communist. I'm not a socialist. I'm not a capitalist. I am not going to be labeled. Don't fucking label me. No Christian should be labeled other than being a servant of Christ, a child of Christ, period. A servant of Christ, a soldier of Christ. That's my label. And if I'm going to be persecuted, I'm going to be persecuted for being a Christian. Let them persecute us as Christians. That's what we need to expose, because it's been happening. So are we going to vote this out? No. Are you going to hope that some people are going to get in there that are going to change things? No. We learned our lesson with Trump and with having Republicans in power. Republicans are no better than Democrats. All they do is run interference for Democrats. They kept us all hoping and waiting for this bullshit to happen that was never meant to ever happen. Okay? They're all in it together. They're all lobbied by the same people. They're all backed by the same people. You can't get in office as a senator or a congressman unless you're backed by big corporations, big money, and powerful elites and banks. Okay? And the very fact that I don't think most Americans have any idea about the power that Israel holds over the United States. Israel did you know, I know you know this, but do they know that Congress people and senators have to take an oath to Israel when they go in office? I don't think anybody knows that. I mean, that Cynthia McKinney, that black congresswoman, she exposed all that. She said she refused to take it, and then she didn't win re-election. So people need to look into, not that I don't espouse anything she could, but she did expose that. Remember the Congressman James Traficant from Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
He was suspiciously found dead, and he was very anti-Israel, and he exposed a lot. But what I'm trying to say, you don't have to hate Jews or Israel, but we certainly must look at the fact that why does America have to kowtow to Israel? And we need to understand that there's very powerful people. Look at Biden's top 10 picks, all Jewish people with Israeli dual citizenship. I mean, we could go into this forever, but I think we need to skim the surface at least. Now, this has nothing to do with it. I'm not going to go to a place where people could say, oh, you're anti-Semitic. So I think we need to see that the same people that are in Biden's cabinet were in Trump's cabinet. I mean, Trump was called Israel's best friend. But why would Trump be such a help to Israel when America was burning while he was president? You know, let me remind people of something. You want to know something? Your fucking protests don't work. You want to know why? You know whose protests work? Black Lives Matter protests work. You want to know why? They got to rob, loot, and steal and burn. And you know what Trump signed during the BLM riot? He signed the police reform bill. Did you know that? That actually took away it actually handcuffed police officers doing their jobs even more while things were burning. So Trump gave in to Black Lives Matter protests while they were going on. And what did he do for you idiots holding Trump flags at the White House, at the Capitol? He distanced himself from you. He called you there. And then now look what they're doing. Oh, they're arresting people. Because you know that's what they're doing. They're arresting you now for taking part of that stupid riot that took place. Listen, what did you expect to change? Did you not realize? I'm not talking to you. I'm saying to the people. I was against that from the beginning. Not that you shouldn't do anything, but if you're gonna organize something, do something that's actually gonna mean something. Now they use it against you, just like Charlottesville. You're waving, Americans are funny to me. You're waving Trump flags and getting arrested for backing him when he's the enemy also. And instead of protesting the COVID-19 lockdown, Americans riot over George Floyd. I mean, a criminal. And so instead of truly complaining about voter fraud, you're waving Trump flags. It should never have been about Trump. It should never have been about Democrat, Republican. And any of these large protests are always going to be infiltrated. And even if you go there peacefully, they're going to provoke something or do whatever they want to happen to get the end result of what they wanted, just like they did at Charlottesville. That's why I really don't believe in protesting. To me, protesting is like a kid begging his mom and dad to get his allowance back or to not have a curfew put on him. You know, it's like, why are we asking or begging to just be able to go outside or to go back to work? I mean, to me, it's like, it's crazy. They love that kind of power. They love it when people grovel to them. You got to realize they're power hungry monsters. Okay. And so again, so I wanted to just talk about the Capitol thing because I was against it. I spoke to you about it. I said either nothing was going to happen and it was just going to be a big waste of time because protesting doesn't work for majority white people that just want justice, or they were going to provoke something and create a situation that they could use against them, just like they did. Okay, but it didn't take a prophet to see that that was coming. Anybody could have figured that out.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring up, you know, even in today's media, because of the stock market upheaval, because of the that young guy got a bunch of people on social media to do the same thing the big guys are doing, so they're upset. But I just saw a headline on CNN where they're saying white supremacists. So everything, no matter what it is, including that protest in Washington on the 6th of January, they're taking everything that happens and twisting it around to be anti-white.
Exactly. But what? How did it get to that point? See, we allowed that. If anybody says it's white supremacist to me, I always have a comeback. Nobody comes back. Everybody's too afraid. I'm not talking about everybody. Even in comment sections, nobody wants to really get involved. And the president went along with it. He went along with it. Trump was like, oh, the white supremacists. Oh, well, no. He never contradicted white supremacy. He never said for us, well, why is complaining about being targeted for your white supremacy. So basically everything is white supremacy, but you don't see Republicans standing up against calling people white supremacists. So basically anything and everything you do as a white person is to defend your own legal standing is your white supremacist. But they use white supremacy for black people standing up for what's right. So that term should have never been allowed to be so easily used. People really need, at the lowest level, people need to combat the use of white supremacy by any political figure. They should write to their congressman. They should say, you know what, if you're a Republican, if you want my vote, you better stamp out that word white supremacy. Stamp it out. And do it to all your districts, all the mayors, all the governors. Let them know that it's offensive to you. But nobody does that. Nobody does that. All people do, all white people do, is try to prove that they're not white supremacists, which is what the enemy wants you to do. They want you to be busy worried about being called racist or homophobic. All these words were meant to keep you busy trying not to be the false accusations they're accusing you of, instead of combating it. It's absolutely amazing how white people have allowed it. I mean, I'm not going to cry all poor victims. Oh, you poor white people. You need to stand up, and you can't just wait for one or two people to do it, and expecting Trump to fix something like that. You know, Trump at all his rallies, if you look at all his rallies, did he ever mention white people at all? He mentioned black unemployment was its best, female unemployment, Hispanic unemployment, gay unemployment. Always did never mention the whites. As if white people who voted him in have nothing to do with anything. Like, as if it's expected that because we're white, all of a sudden you're going to get the best of the jobs. It's bullshit. It's fucking bullshit. And I'm so sick of standing up for white Europeans. I've done it for so many years. I made so many amazing fucking videos about it that exposed it unbelievably, irrefutably. But, you know, that all got taken off by by YouTube. And to be honest with you, that doesn't mean I won't stick up for them anymore. But you got to stick up for yourself. It needs to go right down to the school system. You got to say, hey, I don't like teaching anti-European or anti-Christian agendas. God, at least you could do that if you have kids in school. What the fuck? Stop watching football and basketball, worshiping these freaking idiots, and allowing your kids to be brainwashed in schools. If you're going to have kids, you should monitor what they're learning. You know, I'm going to freaking admonish you for that, and I'm old enough to admonish you. Don't have kids if you're not going to raise them up to be good people and keep them from the brainwashing. And I hate when people just say, oh, well, the whites are suffering because they're not having enough babies. Well, could be, but having a majority of white doesn't really help you either. We had a majority white here, and we were infiltrated by everything black, brown, and Islam. And then look at Europe. Europe's majority white. Is having more babies, white babies, they're going to make any difference if they're still going to be brainwashed by the system and by movies and the media? No, we need to find the core of what's doing this. And in the end, they don't really give a shit about whites. It's Christians. It's white Christians. We are the target. We always have been. And if people don't know this, I'm going to give you a very enlightening figure. At the beginning of 1900, and if you could still find this, go ahead. The beginning of 1900, the white European population all over the world was around 25%. Now it is currently below 10%. White European, okay? That means we went down 15% in population in 100 years. The black population at the beginning of 1900 was roughly 9 to 10%. Now it is roughly 35%, okay? So, and so on and so forth. So we are a minority in the world, and yet we're treated as a pariah. And the only countries everybody that listens knows that are infiltrated and have to be diversified are white Christian countries. So as Christians, as white Europeans, as Christians, we needed to stand up against this a long time ago. But everybody is so brainwashed by their churches, by the movies they watch, by the commercials they watch, by the soap operas they watch, by the football games they watch, by the sports. You look at the music they listen to. Look at a concert today. Look at all these young kids putting their arms up as if they're worshiping a god when they watch Miley Cyrus or Beyonce. Could you imagine having half of that type of admiration for God? This is an idolatrous world we live in. I mean, it's incredible if you look at it. If you really stop to look at what we are, a fallen people. We're a fallen world. You remember there's a scripture somewhere, Dan, I don't know if you can find it, but it says somewhere where the angels are marvel that there's still any faith left on earth after all the pollution and deception we've been under.
I can find it, but I know what you're talking about. And even Christ said, will I find faith upon the earth when I return?
Exactly. And that's another thing. Faith is all we got, and it's being knocked out of us, man. I'm not saying us, but it's a difficult task to not only keep your faith. I mean, we'll keep it. I'll die with the faith. I've already committed to that. It's not about that, but we are under constant pressure, temptation, pressure, weakening, mind, body, and soul. And everything they're doing is to weaken our faith, because that's all we got left. You go on some of these comment boards and you go to these pro-European or pro-white comment boards and everybody's turning pagan now. That's doing exactly what the Kabbalistic Talmudic Jews want you to do. They want nothing more than you to revert to paganism. That is the total victory for the very people that those pagans think that they hate the most. They are falling prey to the very thing that those those Kabbalistic, Talmudic, Masonic, we'll call them whatever they want. The global system is many things. It's Masonic, it's Zionist, it's banker run. I mean, the bank is the money behind it, the Federal Reserve, all of that stuff. I mean, there's so many things. We can't just say one thing because, you know, they're like many gangs, but they got the same master, Satan. And, you know, we can go into that on other days, but geez, we know who the bad guys are, you know?
Yep, absolutely. Hey, one of the listeners had a question for you here. Let me read it. It said, I'm curious what James thinks about using the courts to challenge or sue those in power who are using the term white supremacy, similar to how the ADL sues everyone for anti-Semitism. Do you think that's a good tactic or just a waste of time?
It is a damn good tactic. You have to use the system to your benefit as long as you can. Use the system. Sue the shit out of all of them. That's right. Because that's where you get it exposed and that's where you can hurt them. I would never say don't use a weapon if you have it still. Now, if the courts en masse don't take cases like that, then they'll prove to you that the system isn't working for us. But don't let apathy or fear of losing make you not try it, because getting it into courts is really the best thing to do right now. I believe that. Yes, sue the fuck out of ADL, SPLC. Expose them. You know it's been done successfully before, okay? The ADL, the SPLC defames people constantly. This radio show of yours is on their list. You know that, right?
Yeah, it's been there for a long time.
Yeah, but that's putting you on a list. You have a right to say, I don't want to be on a list. It could cause problems for you. What if it makes people hate you and attack you? You could directly link it to the SPLC, ADL. They need to be called held accountable. See? Yes. So to answer your listener's question, yes, if you have the means to get it into a court of law, get it into a court of law. Because at the very least, and if they start throwing out these cases, you'll know that that option is gone, but then expose it. Expose that they're not going to let you do it. But sue the school system. Sue all of the anti-European, anti-Christian organizations. If you can sue, sue. Get together, put your money together, class action, whatever. Sue the shit out of them. That's right. Sue them while you got the chance. Because there will come a time when you don't have that chance. And remember, you'd be suing demonic entities. It's not like you're suing your brother. Remember, the court says don't go to law against your brother, whatever. But against these entities, yes. I would say if you have a case, use it. That's my – because why should you let them get away with it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yep,
so
absolutely.
Yes. In fact, I encourage some more questions from your listeners. Ask away. Ask. Let them ask. You need to ask.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're going to ask for sure. Did you want to go into the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and the idea of deputizing a little bit?
Yes. This is one thing I like to do, and I know you're the same way. I do not want to put this doom and gloom out there. We have some options. We I don't like all the YouTube channels, not YouTube, but even BitChute. It's all about doom and gloom, and they're throwing it in your face. Oh, this is bad, blah, blah, blah. Well, it is bad, but we have some options. Now, one thing me and Dan were talking about, and it's a very viable action, is find some places. We need to build communities again. It's what Christianity was meant to be from the beginning. If you guys know your American history, the founding of America in all different regions was all about escaping persecution, creating a Christian haven from the world where you could be left alone. It's not illegal. They would have to persecute us for being Christian. Let them persecute us for being Christian, not for anything else. And that's the best way to be persecuted, if they're going to do it. And they'll hold off on that as long as they can. So, yes, Find counties, find communities, fill them with believers. Live in a way where you don't need to be under the control of the grid system or even the monetary system. Go back to the barter system. Grow your own food. Raise your own cattle. Have your elders. And, yes, strong leaders. So you could start off that way. But the constitutional sheriff thing is very, very important. A sheriff is very powerful. That can be used for good, and it could be used for bad. That's how powerful they are. A bad sheriff is very dangerous. A good sheriff is very dangerous to what they want to implement. The power of a sheriff is amazing. Now, let's give a best case scenario. Let's say we populated a county, a low populated county where our votes can really count. You get a good sheriff in. Let's say me. It's not my intention. But if I'm willing to do something, I have to be willing to do it. Okay, I have law enforcement background. I know what you can do and what you can't do and what you should do. Let's say you get me in there. You vote me in. Let's just say, as an example, we need more than just one county. Let's say one county, you get a guy like me in. I would be the sheriff. I would not take a paycheck. How about that? I would not take a paycheck. I would save the county about $200,000 right there. So, having a guy like me in there, I would defend our Constitution as long as it's defensible. I would also defend us as Christians. Now, the power of a sheriff is that he can deputize whoever he wants. I would deputize the whole community, which means you all become deputies with legal standing. Wouldn't be able to pay you, but you would have the power of being a deputy, of being a posse. That would be very, very powerful. Now, I don't think everybody could be made a deputy, but all able-bodied men who were vetted and checked could be deputies. That means our county would not be fucked with, okay? And we have to start thinking in a microcosm. We can't be all over the place and think we're going to win back the whole country. That's impossible. Let's put it in military terms. Any military commander would know that you can't do that. They're more powerful than we are. But if we concentrate, just like the South Africans used to logger with the wagons and circle the wagons, even the Americans did that. You concentrate your forces, you let your enemy come to you, and you live or die in the place you're at. And that's it. We're thinking too big. With Trump, it was, make America great again. That was never possible. You know, we like to believe it, but it's never possible. It's not possible. The powers that backed him and the powers that are still in the world are all powerful. I mean, Jesus said it. God said it. Satan runs the show down in the world right now. This is his kingdom right now until Christ returns and takes it. And we are going to win in the end. But we need to occupy until he comes. That was the command of Christ. We also need to protect those who can't protect themselves. This is not, I can survive on my own. You know, I'm a real, you don't want to fuck with me. But the thing is, what does that mean? I'll die alone? Or would I want to die surrounded by other Christians protecting them? We need to think about the elderly people that can't protect themselves, the young, the people, the women that are godly, we need to protect them. I would like to protect them, but they need to know the structure of it all. They need to know the dire situation that they're in. But there is a way to stave off what's coming. But it takes effort. It takes organization. And you have to trust each other. And there's ways to do it. But I don't think Americans, Christians, think that it's possible because they've lived so much on their own. Everybody wants their own television. Everybody wants their own room. And nobody knows how to live with each other. Jesus said, don't forsake the assembling of the congregation. We need to get together. It's not really just about church, I mean, or now, or whatever you want to call it, the meeting. We needed to never leave the communities that we had. Look at the Amish. You know, they may be not, it may be a little different, but the Amish have a controlled Christian community. And for the most part, they're self-sufficient and they're fairly happy. And we need to have some version of living like Vegas. And there was another point that I was going to bring up about that. It is possible, and you don't need a lot of money. Like even me, for instance, I'm in a position where I could probably buy 100 acres of land and we could build a community. It's doable, but we need people that are willing to raise animals and grow gardens and help build huts and houses and stuff like that. But, you know, we can talk about that at another time, but we need people to be enthusiastic about it. But this can't be done at the 12th hour. I say right now we're at the 11th hour. If we don't do something soon, then, you know, scripture's filled with of prophecy about what happens if you wait too long. Okay, remember, it's like the days of Noah. If we don't build that ark, we are going to be taken by the flood. Okay, and it Jesus said, like the days of Noah. Why do you think he said that? And the other thing, Dan, is as long as Christians keep believing the false prophecy of rapture, they're going to be taken like everybody else. It's a delusion. Remember, Jesus said, I'll send a strong delusion. That could be one of them.
Yep, I think you're right about that. The rapture was to neuter the faithful. And I believe you're right about the vaccination. I was sorely disappointed yesterday to find out one of my immediate family members has gotten not just one, but two of the shots. And I fear for her health and safety at this point. Everybody else in the family has told me anyway that they're not going to get this vaccination, even though they know at work, especially if you work in the medical field, in any capacity, they're putting a lot of political pressure and peer pressure on people to get vaccinated.
Right.
I just can't believe people can't see through this BS with the vaccination and the masks. Now they're talking about double and triple masks, which is just ludicrous. And getting a swab up the rectum. I mean, people, how much more ridicule and lambasting by your enemy are you going to take? They're flaunting the fact that they are asking you to do things that are completely unsound in the medical and the scientific arena, and yet the sheep are still doing it. I'm of the opinion, James, maybe we need to change our tactic here. With the people that I know, I'm going to start recommending triple masks with a face shield and get double vaccinated. I'm going to recommend it because if that's our Father's way of getting rid of the faithless, the lazy, I want to be complicit because I don't want to take a stand, I don't want to be called a name. If that's how you get rid of those kind of people amongst the white race, then Maybe we're looking at it wrong. Maybe this is a blessing in disguise. Maybe some of these people, even though they're people that I really love and care about, they're going to be part of that crowd. And we just have to let them go.
Well, that's it. What did Jesus say? He said, the blind will lead the blind into the ditch, right? There's nothing we could do. Jesus himself preached on this earth and didn't reach everybody. We're not going to do it either. So what it is just planting the seeds and hopefully the God's people will sprout up. But remember, even in the scripture, people don't realize too much that even being fearful is a sin. When he lists the sins, remember when he said the fearful?
Right.
I always wondered, how could being afraid be a sin? But when you're afraid, especially right now, you'll give in to the system that will take your soul. You know, Jesus said, don't be afraid of the man that can kill your body. Be afraid of the man that could kill your body and take your soul from you. And that's exactly what's happening now. Now, as far as the vaccine is to weaken you. It will weaken you to a point where you're going to need other vaccines. It's going to destroy your system so that you will be susceptible to anything and you will follow anything they tell you to do, which means if you're going to take that vaccine, you're more susceptible to take the mark of the beast because they're telling you right now, yeah, you took the vaccine, you destroyed your system, but it's not going to be enough. You're still going to have to get a passport. COVID passport, you're still going to have to get more vaccines. Who knows what it's going to do to your body? Who knows if you're even going to be alive in a few years because of it? They're hiding all the deaths. They're calling you another name, vaccine denier. So now they got another name, a vaccine denier. That's funny how there's a name for everything that just, it's just for people that want common sense, that people that just ask questions. So you can tell people all you want, Dan, but if they're going to take fear over your counsel, then that's it. And what does the Bible say about the end times? Father will go against daughter. Daughter will go against the parents, right?
Yeah.
That's how it happens. They don't listen to Scripture. They don't listen to the people telling them the truth. They want to believe the lie. And if they believe the lie, then the lie is going to lead them into the pit. And that's why Christianity is so important, because if we didn't have the words of Christ, we may have all fallen to this. Because what would we say? Without the promise that Christ gives us of eternal life and forgiveness, without the Holy Spirit, what would we do? Most of us would say, well, you know, it's better to be a slave than to be dead because there's nothing left, right?
Right.
And that's what they want. They want you to believe there's nothing left. They want you to think that it's better to just be a slave so you can go to your stupid concerts and football games and get into your bars and everything, because that's the little bit of pleasure that people have that they think that's all they have. So that's why there's so many weak people out there, because they love their lives more than they love God. And it's all Scripture. And we need to be on fire for this. We can't be lukewarm. This is what Jesus means. Right now is the most important time to be on fire for Christ. There's the people that are cold, that don't even believe or don't even pay attention. They call themselves Christians, but they don't crack open a Bible. And then there's people that are lukewarm, that I call the Zionist Christians, the rapture-believing Christians, as lukewarm. What are they saying? What are they saying almost to a man and woman? You know, the rapture will take us out of this. Too bad for you guys, you know. So they think that they can sit back, just like the Q thing tells you. Enjoy the show. Eat the popcorn. Sit back. We got this shit. Don't worry about it. It's bullshit. And they are the lukewarm. And Jesus said he'll spew them out of their mouth, his mouth. That's a serious statement for Jesus to make. I would thou wert hot or cold. I'm going to be hot for Jesus Christ. I'm going to be on fire for him. That's what he wants us all to do.
Yeah, amen to that. Did you want to take any callers at this point?
I'll take any question you've got. Throw it out, baby.
All right. Well, I don't know if anybody's put anything up here. Adam's keeping an eye on that. So if there's any questions from the audience or anybody wants to call in, now's a good time to do it.
If you got a question and you don't like what I'm saying, call in or type it in. Please,
yeah.
Tell me where I'm wrong. Please do. Tell me where I'm wrong.
Well, yeah, we've said that for 21 years. If somebody can show us where we're wrong, we'll be glad to repent and change our mind. But so far in 21 years, nobody's done it. We got Chris from Virginia that's called in. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Hey, James, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man?
I've been on the same page as sounds like you are pretty much about everything for a long time. I never bought into the whole Trump thing. I bought into the whole QAnon thing, and I think, like, you know, what we need to do for the most part is, you know, continue to plant seeds out there, but also just get out of the way and come out of Babylon. So I guess my question is more of one of terrain. Like, if you're looking at the country, where would you go? Right? You're talking about getting 100 acres. Where would you go?
Well, it's a good question. Me and Dan have been talking about that. Where do we go? That's where we need to come together as a community and have suggestions. Your idea of where we could go is just as valid as mine. You are just as important as anybody else. You have a right to say, hey, I think this place may be good for us. But and we'd have to look into it. See, I don't want to start a community or be part of a community where people have no say. We've had that for too long. I mean, you elect an official and you never have any say. They just lord over you. Well, that's not the way it should be. But getting back to your question, where? Well, that is a damn good question, and we need to start thinking where. And hopefully a place where it's more remote. We'd have to live off the grid, but I've lived off the grid, so I know it's not only easy, but it's wonderful. And if you have people around you that are like-minded, you raise your own healthy food and everything, and you barter, nobody, it's not about money or how much money you have. A man could come in there and chop wood and do what men should do, and you're just as worth as much as anybody else. It's not about money. We're not talking about what you can put in monetarily. It's what a man can do, like we used to do. You're a Virginian. I don't know if you're a native-born Virginia, but look at how Virginians used to be up until the Civil War. I mean, there were men. They cleared fields. They built cabins. They raised families. You know, that's good stuff, man. I lived in West Virginia for quite a while, too. And, you know, I cleared fields. I built my own houses in some places. I can do it. And I did it alone. Could you imagine doing it with a company of brothers, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there'd be a synergistic effect where everybody brings their skills together. If you ever got five people who were dual CI, like, together and on the same purpose, on the same mission, we could probably take over the world.
Yeah, I mean, if we were like-minded in large numbers, nobody would mess with us. I mean, but we are smart. A guy like you, you sound intelligent. I think we're just waiting for the opportunity to be something again and to stop being called white supremacists and racists and marginalized even by our own elected officials. I mean, you know, I think the last time America was really America was in the South during the Civil War. They fought to protect basically what it meant to be American, and I think America died in 1865. You know, it died then, and now they take away monuments to that struggle. They take away the flag. It's like what's next? Christianity is what they're coming for next. I mean, they've already suppressed it. So yeah, where to go? Well, that's a good question, and that may be answered soon. And we are thinking about it. And any input you have, if you're in contact with Dan, please suggest places. You know,
yeah, I think it might. I mean, I've got a mountain of ideas. I think it might be a much longer phone conversation. But yeah, definitely, I would love to set that up and hear what your thoughts are for sure.
Sure. I think we are going to have a physical meeting at some point. And we will have some dialogue, and we need input because nobody, neither Dan nor myself, can come here and say, don't worry, buddy, I got it all under control. All you got to do is follow me. No, that's not what we're saying. But we do have to have ideas, and we do have to take some leadership. But everybody has a input, and you know, it may just be someone that comes out of nowhere that has the best idea. But yes, we should have some type of dialogue in the future where we can take people's ideas and try to put them together somehow. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Also, to let folks know, we have it's almost nightly chat, primarily men, but there's a few ladies that join it. Talking about this very thing and a few other topics as well, but the primary purpose is to talk about property and setting up a community. And if anybody would like to join that, it's set up very similar to this radio show, only it's not recorded and it's open for everybody to participate. And if you're interested in that, contact Adam here on the blog or send me an email and I'll forward you the phone number and access code so that you can join it. And it's every night at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Cool. All right.
Anything else, Chris? Anything else, Chris?
Sorry about that. I was the mic was muted. No, I think we should sit down and have that conversation because, like, once I get started, it's probably going to take 4 hours or something like that. So I'll table it. I don't want to monopolize the rest of this call because James is on the roll. I was just curious.
All right. Very good, Chris. You dropped off a little bit there at the back part of what you were saying, but I think we picked up the gist of what you were talking about. But all right. Very good. And I'll go ahead and drop your from the queue here, and if you have anything else that comes up, just queue back in, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's a feature I just figured out. It's funny you use these programs and some of the software and how it works and everything. So everything's a learning curve, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. So, but we do need to, let's see here. Oh, here it is. Remove the question. Okay. The idea of community living like the Amish, getting back to basics, coming out of Babylon, it's way past time. I think you're right. Delaying and waiting is not going to solve anything. Certainly, we can see the assault against the white race and particularly white men of faith. Especially faith and a belief in the Constitution and the Second Amendment put you high on the list. And, you know, they've been at this for a long time. If you remember, James, back when Janet the Dyke Reno was part of the Clinton administration, she put out who she considered domestic terrorists. That's no different than what they're putting out right now. So this assault against the white man who stands up for truth and justice and our God-given rights has been on their hit list for a long time. They're just more out in the open now about it than they were back in the days of Clinton.
Right. Let's get back to what you were saying, too. We are living in a Sodom and Gomorrah right now. I mean, our culture, what we have to face every day is Sodom and Gomorrah. We're trying to make Sodom and Gomorrah a good place. What did Jesus say? God himself, don't look back, right?
Right.
We're trying to fix hell itself. It's impossible to do so. So we need to start our own place. What did Jesus say? Be ye separate. Be ye holy. Separate. Holy means to be separate, right? It says,
right.
You know, don't have too much congregation with the wicked. But we're with the wicked constantly. We're ruled by the wicked. We got to get away from them. And life could be nice. I'm not saying this has to be bad either. When you have a safe place to raise your family, you eat together on a big table, you enjoy the fruits of your labor, that's what Christians should have aspired to, not trying to accumulate wealth. And, you know, it's like we're just don't want to become like them. We want to be simple and enjoy life. And there's not going to be too much time left. Again, I'm not going to tell you, nobody knows the time, but it's going to freaking happen. And whether it happens or not, it could be a good life. We're seeing that the governments are at war with their own people, whether it's in Europe or here, or Australia, their own people are the enemy. And we can go into all clergy and all that other shit people don't even have any idea about. Here's another thing you guys need to know. I actually had many good interviews with people before my channel got taken. I interviewed Jared Taylor. You're all aware of Jared Taylor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I brought up the clergy plan to him because we were talking about Europe being flooded in. And I said, yeah, it's the clergy plan. I expected him to get into it and tell me what he knew. And he didn't answer. And I said, you know what the clergy plan is, right? He goes, no. He said he didn't know what the clergy. Now, that's on radio. We did that on radio. He denied knowing what the clergy plan was. Okay?
Wow.
Now, how would a guy like Jared Taylor deny knowing what the clergy plan was? And he also says that we should separate from all these other races, but he says that we can have Jews with us. And why would you want the very people that have infiltrated and destroyed European Christianity from the beginning, right?
I mean,
we got to deal with people like that who he knew what the clergy plan was. He had to. He can't be that ignorant.
No.
And by the way, with his Jew-splaining and protection of the Jews, he's on that SPLC list too. Did you know that?
Yeah, he's a gatekeeper, from what I've been told anyway.
Well, if you lie about the clergy plan, and I informed him what the clergy plan was, he was very uncomfortable with hearing it. So, you know what, you can't play their game. You can't. You cannot deny the very fact of what's happening, and that's what's happening. And listen, I've been all over the place. I mean, I grew up in multicultural neighborhoods. I've never fucking had a break from this bashing of races, white supremacy, white privilege. I'm a fucking Italian. My parents were immigrants. God damn it, forgive me for using the Lord's name in vain, but I never fucking had a break from this race constantly. Even when I was a cop, they put us in all the black neighborhoods to work, 100% black neighborhoods, and they called us racists for doing the job. You know, I never had a fucking break, man. I'm so fucking sick of it. I'm either going to do this community or I'm going to go off on my own and live like a fucking hermit. People got to start getting a little pissed about this shit. So fucking sick of it, man. Dan, I can't stand it. And you know what? It just never stops. The reason why I never made rank on the police department is because I passed the sergeant's test, but because we have no black sergeants, they put an injunction on it, court injunction. So that they held up the test for like 8 fucking years. You know?
Wow.
I'm sick of this fucking shit. I got an IQ that's in the top 2.5%, believe it or not. And now they're saying they don't even want high IQ police officers. That I wrote that in my, I put it in my book, the court cases, which they don't want high IQ people anymore. They want dumb order followers. Same as in the military. They want all the fucking dummies in there. We got to start speaking out. Stop saying thank you for your service to cops, to anybody, and to military. They're not serving you. They're doing a fucking job. And the military especially, find one fucking war that the military actually preserved any of our freedoms. It's all bullshit. Fucking worship on all these levels. Worship Jesus Christ. That's who you worship. He'll never let you down. I'm pissed, man. And a lot of people are going to say, oh, what a foul mouth. Well, we're at fucking war. And you know what? If I was elected to some, you would hear me speak like this. You would hear me. You know, look, you got people like AOC on the Democratic side. Well, I'd be AOC on fucking steroids. I would bring this up. But you can't fucking do it because a guy like me would never get in.
Yeah, the system is not going to let you in because the system is owned by them. So you're right about that.
Of course, that's why we don't hear anybody. That's why even like that Dan Crenshaw, that fucking asshole, this Navy SEAL. He's anti-Christian. He's made many anti-Christian statements. He's not even for the Second Amendment. And he's pro-Israel. You know, he's pro-Israel. Every time you ask him a question about Israel and why it's the, you know, why we are so, you know, encumbered with them. And he goes, oh, you're one of those guys, huh? He never answers the question. I could debate any of these fucking false fucking people on the right and destroy them. I could destroy them with logic. They would lose. They would never talk to a guy like me. Never.
Hey, amen to that. Well, we got an awful lot of people praying for a location. That seems to be the big hang-up right now, James, is where, and then right behind that is, of course, how to fund it. I'm working with a real estate person in Florida who helps people with crowdsourcing right now form communities. Now, the communities they're working on are not set up exactly like we're talking about, but basic concept. They're very, very similar. They're people who want to get back to nature and organics and get out of the system. So there's already that movement at work, at least here in Florida, I know it is, and probably other states as well. So I'm supposed to meet with them in the very near future and discuss the two big topics, which is where do we want to set this up, and then how to get some donations to fund it or somebody to donate some land. If somebody's got a big chunk of land somewhere and they wouldn't mind breaking off 50 acres to 100 acres and let us build a ministry. Say, we want this to be a ministry built up around it so that it has more latitude and would not be susceptible to their rules and regulations as much. So, you know, these are things that we're kicking around. We got a lot of people praying about it, a lot of people meditating about it. And, you know, the brothers and sisters willing to work it, that list grows by the day. And we have quite a bit of talent. We have a very diverse amount of people who bring to the table a lot of expertise in the very areas we're talking about, whether it's animal husbandry, organic farming, building modest but strong earth-friendly homes, teaching holistic healing and energy and all that stuff, which is very biblical and very natural, midwifery for women that wish to have their children at home. All these things, we have people that have talents in those areas already on our list. And I believe if we can get together, James, as you're talking about, as men, and set this up and protect it, I believe it would be like a magnet. I think it would draw out the very best of our people that who are of faith, of course, who would want to come out of this system and be part of that. I honestly believe that. Like that movie with Kevin Costner, if we build it, they will come.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And I know you've been doing your homework and you've been working on this. My thing, too, is to say, first of all, keep banks out of everything. No loans, no debt. That's for me to be part of anything, it has to be no banks involved, no loans. I would do everything I have with what little I have and put it in. And depending. Now, again, we have to figure out, what do you want to do? Do you want to take over a county? And what I mean by take over is simply migrate to a county and run for office, people run for mayors and sheriffs and this and that. Do you want to do that? Or do you want to just be completely a religious retreat, be left alone, have as much religious protection as we can get? So we have, or maybe we could do all of that. So, yes. But we need participation, and that's a good thing. And I think, of course, this could be done. This is what your forefathers have done. My family, believe it or not, if you even know, they were Italian farmers living off the grid until after World War II. So this is in my blood. I mean, they had no electricity when they came to America. They did not have electricity in Italy. They had their own land, self-sufficient. They had no work. They didn't need money. I said, Ma, how did you make money when you needed it? They go, we would sell some olive oil or some extra crops and go to the city, sell it, make some money, buy some shoes for the winter because they didn't even wear shoes in the summer. So that's my heritage. My people didn't live off the one day, maybe on another show, I can tell you about my dad's connection to Mussolini and what he told me about World War II. I mean, I think you would see a whole different world, man.
Wow.
You know,
I don't think...
But he knows that, but my dad worked with Mussolini, and he was in the Italian army, and he told me a lot of things I didn't want to hear when I was younger, and I made a video about it, and it was very well received, and of course it was taken off with all the other ones. But, you know, there's a lot to go into. Maybe we shouldn't go into World War II right now. But the funny thing about World War II is we need to stop looking at, I know a lot of people probably have fathers or grandfathers that fought there, but we fought Italians and Germans who were only trying to strengthen their national identity. They were kicking out people that were destroying their country. They did nothing wrong. And then here's a very important part. Everybody says, oh, we had to attack the Germans because we had to declare war because the Germans attacked Poland. Oh, my God. If you're going to use that logic, the Russians were allied with the Germans at the time and also invaded Poland. So why didn't the U.S. declare war on the Soviet Union as well? Right?
Yep. We know why.
Because America has defended communism from the very beginning. All the Anglo countries, I hate to say this, but all the fucking Anglo countries always protected communism since the since communism began. It's going to be a hard pill for you to take. But look at World War One. Look at the Bolshevik Revolution. Okay, all the Christians dying in that revolution? Did we care about anything then? Why didn't the West intervene, right? And look at World War II. Why did we ally ourselves with Russia? And how about right after World War II? Russia became the new enemy, and they took over the whole Eastern Europe. So why didn't we feel that protecting Hungary and all those, Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, and all those countries, why didn't, and Poland, why didn't we feel fighting Russia was important then, right? No, we go after Christian and Germany and Christian Italy, okay? That's what we do. We bomb European cities, we carpet bomb European cities and kill hundreds of thousands of innocent women and children. Bullshit. We're going to go, we're going to have a show just on that one day, and people need to wake up. We're watching the Hollywood version of World War II, okay? And who runs Hollywood? Jewish supremacists run Hollywood, and they've been bombarding our minds with false ideology. My mom and dad lived through that war. My mom's neighbors were incinerated by Allied bombs, and it could have been my mother's family that were killed. And I could tell you some other stories. My mother and dad loved Mussolini. He protected the farmers. He taxed the corporations. He tried to get rid of the communists. He got rid of the mafia. Sure. And there's other things to tell. We are not the fucking good guys. We need to get that out of our fucking heads.
You're right about that. We have a lot to answer for.
And then they say, oh, how could the Germans have followed Hitler and Mussolini? Well, because they were trying to do what was good for their country. How do we, as knowledgeable people, still say America's good country when we're run by demonic unbelievers? We're the fucking idiots, you know?
Yeah.
We are the stupid ones. Thank you for your service. Yeah, thanks for enslaving the whole fucking world, asshole. Most military guys realize that now, but they're fucking enslavers. We've been in Afghanistan for 20 fucking years, still can't beat those tribes, you never will, and all they do is act like police out there, and all they do is protect the opium fields, and now all the white males are fucked up on opium now. That's
yeah,
how
we
you
have
destroy
a,
people.
Right. We have an opium addiction pandemic. A real pandemic is opioid addiction today.
Yeah, did you hear Trump ever say anything about that, about white males disproportionately affected by suicide and everything else? How about the 22 military, U.S. military, that commit suicide daily?
Nope, never talked about that, did he?
Yeah, how much he cares.
Just to chime in real quick, hey, James, this is Adam.
How you doing?
Doing good. I got a bunch of stuff you tickled that I wanted to bring up, but firstly is that Chris is trying to call in, so I wanted to make sure you guys that you knew that, Dan.
Oh, okay. Thanks for pointing it out. I was remiss there. I think your mic's open, Chris. Go ahead.
Hey, James, I just wanted to know you're not the only person that's pissed off. I'm probably the only person that's more pissed off than you are, maybe, I think. I just wanted to say I'm 100% serious about doing the whole community thing. We can't have a serious discussion about it and without getting into like my personal finances and like where we're at right now and what's achievable, given the amount of resources that I have. So, if you want to have that conversation offline, we should definitely do that.
Yeah, we can. And like I said, you don't need financial resources to be part of it. We're not going to make it about that. I don't want people to feel that they need a big bank account or money to even do this. Just be part of it. Just contribute with your strength and your faith and what you could do with your hands. You know, but we'll talk about that. We will talk about that. Sure, we definitely have to do that.
Very good. Anything else, Chris?
No, sir.
Okay, very good. This thing's actually working the way it's supposed to. You know, praise Yahweh. So, good points. Absolutely excellent points. And what I'll do, James, is I will send you Chris's contact information, and then you two guys can talk mano a mano.
Yeah,
and you bring up good points, even though we're not going to, because it's already been an hour and a half, and I don't want to take much more of your time up, but the case of the fact that we've been lied to about World War I, World War II, especially about not only Germany and Italy being disparaged, but actually the Japanese have been disparaged as well. So it's topics that people, if they care about the truth, they're going to look into it. Again, we're not going to cover it all here today. We've done that in many other previous shows, and we can do another broadcast strictly on that, what your dad told you about Mussolini and Italy and World War II. We could do a whole show on that. But
yeah. One thing I wanted to say, though, Dan, is when I know for a fact that there's a lot of good old boys in the military. They're good Christian men, and they want to do the right thing. I'm not putting them down personally, but no more than I'm putting down the good cops. But I can, if I can critique policing the way it is, being a former cop, I'm also going to critique the military. See, they've been duped. The military guys have been duped just like we have, just like everybody else for a while. You know, like, hey, not too long ago, I thought Hitler was a bad guy. Whatever he is, he wasn't what they said he was. And I also believed World War II, we were on the right side, even into just about 8 years ago. So I'm not calling anybody stupid. I'm just saying until we realize that we've been duped, we're going to continue to be duped by the very people that are oppressing us now. You know?
Right.
So, yeah, I would love to talk about that. I would love
yeah.
to talk about it.
Well, we can do a special show on that. I also want to remind everybody a week from today, Michael in Sweden is planning on joining us for a return visit, so I hope you can make it for that. You know, if folks really want to find out the truth, they need to wake up for, you know, what really happened back then, and they also need to wake up to the fact that they got away with it in large part back in World War I, World War II, because we did not have computers and internet. We didn't even have free long distance back then. Communications was not anywhere close to what we have today, and our people were completely oblivious to the Jewish takeover of media in this country. And so, since right. the Jews are the inventors of communism and international capitalism, they control both. And they control right. the media, completely control the mainstream media. And so they made sure we didn't hear the truth about Mussolini, Hitler, Japan, and how Roosevelt tricked the Japanese into Pearl Harbor, all of that. They were never told any of it, and they were told just the opposite. Uncle Joe Stalin was a friend, and communism's fighting the nasty Germans, when even General George S. Patton said at the end of the war, we fought the wrong enemy. That Jewish mm-hmm. communism was far worse than anything yep. that was even attributed to the Germans. And you got to remember, this whole Holocaust thing is bullshit. At the end of World yep. War II, General Patton, who was a four-star general at that time, four-star General Patton didn't say a damn thing about a Holocaust, and he was all over Germany the whole war and after the war. And Eisenhower, who was a Swedish Jew, he didn't put anything in his memoirs about a Holocaust, so the whole Holocaust thing is a bullshit story by the same bullshitters that have been bullshitting us about everything for decades, and we need to wake
yeah.
that all up.
And Dan, an important thing about it, a lot of people will say, well, who cares about Mussolini and Hitler? Who cares about the Holocaust? Well, let me explain something to you. That major thing that happened is what we're still dealing with now. The Holocaust is still being spoken about and thrown in everybody's face. That's why they're creating all these anti-Semitic laws. I don't think people realize that Europe, there's like 22 countries in Europe where you cannot say anything about the Holocaust or you go to jail. Does that make sense to you? And that's why it's important to talk about it now. Because and the 6 million is a lie. Everybody knows it. Even Jews, some Jews admit that it's a lie. There wasn't even 6 million Jews in Europe at the time. Where do you get that number from? And not only that, the Red Cross themselves showed an uptick in Jewish population after World War II. Now, this is And if you look at the movies from the 50s and 60s about World War II, they never did the Holocaust. That's a phenomenon that came later on. So, yeah, it's all fucking bullshit. Did people die in concentration camps? Yes, a lot of people died, not just Jews, but they might have starved to death or died of diseases. And that's it. But you can't make 6 million out of 100,000 or 200,000. It makes no difference. Nobody talks about the Holodomor. Nobody talks about the Bolshevik killing of 20 fucking million Christians. Nobody talks about that. What the hell, man? That's just as valid or more valid.
Right, because they control the narrative. I mean, really.
They controlled it then, and they control it now, but that's the scary thing. They could make you believe anything. And again, I don't fault everybody, because I fell for a lot of it too. My dad told me when I was young, I didn't believe my own dad. I said, don't talk about Mussolini, Dad. You know, he was a bad guy. He said, he's not a bad guy. I shut him down, my own father, because of that fucking media. God damn it! I know I do this every time I'm on this show, but motherfucker, I'm sorry. I am fucking furious. I don't believe my own father and my own mother because of these cunts. Fucking lies. All fucking lies. I'm sick of it. You know that? And I think we all need to be this upset. And you need to bring it up to these motherfuckers.
Yep.
Too much quiet and complacent. You're not getting raptured. Get over it. You're going to be here. And you're going to deal with it. I'm sorry, Dan, but I'll tell you, to be honest with you, man, you know, this job, being a cop and seeing all the fucking violence against white people and how it was suppressed even back then, and how I was demonized, all the white cops that did all the job, we fucking bled in those fucking projects, and all we do is get called racist. You arrest a drug dealer off the street that's fucking violent, or anybody, a fucking murderer, a fucking guy who's a shooter, you arrest them, you use a little force, and all of a sudden there's complaints raining down on you. Fuck that shit. Fuck me, man. I'm tired. Oh.
I know. Let me read you a quote by a lady author by the name of Taylor Caldwell, who wrote the book The Devil's Advocate, and see if this rings a bell to you, James. On the day when you again allow abominable men to confiscate your freedom, your money, your lives, your private property, your manhood, and your sacred honor in the name of, quote, security, or, quote, national emergency, you will die, and never again shall you be free. If plotters again destroy your republic, they will do it by your greedy and ignorant assent, by your disregard of your neighbor's rights, by your apathy and your stupidity. We were brought to the brink of universal death and darkness because we had become the most contemptible of people, an angerless one, meaning people without anger. Keep alive and vivid all your righteous anger against traitors, against those who would abrogate your constitution, against those who would lead you to wars with false slogans and cunning appeals to your patriotism.
Well, those are good words.
Yep,
and I'm going to tell you something. It's our it's people's laziness. It's their content. It's their fatness. It's their, oh, it's not happening to me. But then when it happens to them, right, then they want everybody to come. Everybody should be this anger. Even the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. And yes, I sinned with my foul mouth. But I am a sinner. That's why I have the Lord Jesus Christ. He forgives me. But we are at war. And we're fucking losing. And let me tell you something. Yahweh's going to come and bring us the victory. We will win, and these cocksuckers are going to be kneeling before us. But right now, we need to protect the innocent. There's a lot of women and children and old elderly people that just cannot bring that fight. We do have an obligation to protect them. And if you don't see it that way, that's why a lot of these guys, you know, a lot of guys think they're hunters. They want to run off in the woods by themselves. That's fine. You can survive, but you're worthless. to other people that may need you. I was a cop at 18 years old, and I saved lives at 18, 19, 20 years old while people were fucking partying in college. I dragged fucking black guys with guns out from old ladies' beds underneath the beds. That I got chapters about that. I took dangerous drug dealers off the street. I disarmed so many fucking armed robbers. Man, let me tell you something. That's real fucking service to your country, okay? And you know what? Just me being out there scared the shit out of the criminals. That's the kind of fucking cop I was. But you know what? It goes unappreciated. And you know what? I don't even care. I don't want anybody to appreciate it. I just didn't want to be vilified for doing my job. And that's the fucking problem.
Yep.
And you know what? It never fucking ends. I never had a moment of peace. Life in general, the women you go out with, they're all polluted. They all use you. They all want something without giving. You know, I was never able to get married or have children because I didn't want to raise children with a woman that I didn't think was worth marrying. I've had plenty of relationships. But what? The women are polluted. I had this 1950s view of women as, oh, they'll make a decent man out of you. But they're fucking more corrupt than men, a lot of them. Fuck me. They are.
James, don't hold back.
I don't care if all of your listeners hate me, because guess what? I'm so used to it. There's nobody you're going to find that's been hated more than me. Bullets, knives, bricks, rocks, crowds attacking me when I make a good arrest. I'm fucking built for it. You know that? And if I have to be on my own, then I will. But my kind of talent needs to be appreciated. And you know what? If you, in the end, you're going to want a guy like me. And even the guys that were Vietnam vets that were in serious combat that I worked with said that they would want me in a foxhole with them because they've seen how I did the job. And it wasn't just like these cops today, 50 guys surrounding one guy pointing their guns. I disarmed people in the middle of armed robberies without even fucking shooting them. I just took the gun away from them. I fucking do that. That's the kind of cop I was. And you know what? There's not a lot of guys like me. But guess what? That's why we got to recognize everybody's talent. And you know, I'm not trying to build myself up, but I have righteous anger in me. And you know what? Maybe you give me a little platform. And you can't yell in the house by yourself. But you know, it's just I'm trying to get people motivated. There's no time to sit on your ass anymore. We need to get this shit going.
Yep.
And you know, we don't have a lot of fucking time. They're ready to fucking warp speed your ass.
Hey, James.
You know? Yeah, James.
I just want to tell you that your message is highly appreciated. I'll speak for myself, but this is exactly what the thoughts sound like in my head. And I can tell you that from some of the chat I'm watching, everybody appreciates it. So, yeah, it's
I'm glad to hear
it. It's high time for these types of discussions and not pussyfooting around it. Ralph says, can James tell us about his visit to the Foreign Legion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you want to hear it. You got time, Ben?
We got all the time you need, brother.
All right, well, I don't know if anybody knows this, but I'm also a painter, an artist, and, you know, it's a good therapy for me to paint classical pictures. So one day I painted a Foreign Legion painting, the Battle of Cameroon down in Mexico in 1863, where the a few legionnaires were surrounded by a couple of thousand Mexicans trying to kill them. And there's a history to it. It's during the Emperor Maximilian thing when they had the French there backing them. But I painted a painting of the French Foreign Legion forming in square and fighting off for the last man, the Mexican cavalry. So I sent it to the French Foreign Legion, and they invited me. They invited me to come to Albania in southern France, the headquarters of the Foreign Legion. And they picked me up at the airport, and they let me stay, me and my girlfriend at the time. We stayed in the general's quarters in the chateau right on the headquarters, at the headquarters over there. And I was the honored guest, and we ate dinner with all the officers, everything. And they put the painting in the museum, and it's in an honored spot. And they really loved it, and they they call me. I have the official name of painter of the French Foreign Legion. I can take that to my grave. And one thing I would like to say, though, and I put this in a video that was also wiped out, but I was having coffee one morning with the officers, and there was this one really sharp paratrooper officer. He was really sharp. He was actually French, and he, you know, lean, tall guy, and he was a colonel. So he asked me in broken English, he said, what made you paint this painting? He goes, I'm curious, because I didn't fit the bill of a typical artist, you know? And I said, you know, that's a good question. He goes, I always admired combat. I always admired men in combat, fighting for a cause. And The Last Stand is something that I painted in other ways. And I said, and I think that's the way I want to die, surrounded by my brothers, fighting to the death. And he looked at me and he said, bien. He smiled and he said, good. And I think that was the answer he was looking for, but it was the truth. Because there's no better way to die than being surrounded by your brothers, your family, your people, and fighting to death. To me, I'll fight to the death. You know, I don't want to get old and die in some fucking nursing home where they're going to jab you with something and just fucking cart you off to some hole. I'll die with my brothers and sisters. And that's it. So it's hanging in the French Foreign Legion Museum. And the one other story, the general of the Foreign Legion liked it so much that he told the colonel to talk to me. So another colonel said, your painting will hang in the museum, but the general really admires it, and he wants to keep it in his office for a while, and he asks your permission. And I said, he's the general of the Foreign Legion. He could do whatever he wants. And the colonel said, that's right, he can, but he wanted to ask you. And that set me in good graces with them. It's a good story. I can elaborate another time, but it was a great, great experience.
Well, what's interesting about that, James, is it was real warriors honoring another warrior.
Yes. It
reminds me of a book I read when I was a young boy. It's called They Fought for the Skies, and it's the story of aviation prior to and during World War I. And there is many eyewitness accounts that at the beginning of World War I that aviators honored each other rather than treating them like shit. So German and ally pilots would often salute each other, and if you went down behind enemy lines, they would often take you back to the barracks and treat you to a feast with champagne, and the men would stand around and ask questions about how you got to be a pilot, your techniques, and in a way to honor them rather than to denigrate them. So it reminds me of that, where warriors will honor and respect another warrior.
Yes, and you know, one thing people need to know, the Foreign Legion guys, they're not typical cucks military. These guys are very based, as you like to say, and we had conversations that they don't normally have, and they were in complete agreement. And the Foreign Legion to this day is feared by the French government because they did have their own little rebellions at one time, so they're closely watched. There's 7,000 of them. I don't know, you know, it's been a few years, but the guys I met were pretty cool. There was a guy from Scotland, a sergeant from Scotland, and they even have German, ex-German military there from World War II living on there. They have a vineyard. And I went there where they have another museum, and they got guys who fought in the German army during World War II, Wehrmacht, and they joined the Foreign Legion after, and they retired there. And they're actually working there in the vineyard, if there's still any alive. But, you know, it was a very interesting thing. And, yeah, they're very much against the migration and all that stuff, but there's only so much they could say. But it was a breath of fresh air for them to talk to me because they really never get to really talk to people like that. But I liked the guys that I met. They were good. But these were the top guys, colonels, majors, you know?
Right.
And they were pretty good dudes. They were pretty good guys.
They sound like the Praetorian Guard type of guys back in the days of Rome.
Yeah, a lot like that. And they have a good sense of humor. And I surprised them, being an American, the way I spoke about things. They loved it. They loved it. And, you know, I was just being myself. That's it. They either love me or hate me, or maybe somewhere in between. But, yeah, that was a good experience. And I was they showed me everything there. They took me everywhere to see the whole, you know, the whole workings there. And it's really cool. It was a good thing. You know, oh, they asked me another time to come to back to France to paint and to exhibit something in the Invalides. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that, Les Invalides in Paris, but I wasn't able to get back out there to further paint anything else. You know, life gets in the way, but, you know, it was a good time. It was a good time, yeah.
Hey, one of the listeners wants to know: is there anywhere to go to see a copy of that painting? Is it on any website or anything?
Well, yeah, I was looking for it for a while. They had it in the museum, and they're really afraid of copyright infringement because I did tell them that I donated the painting to them, but I said I'm going to be doing future prints of it. I never did, but they are really not letting people take pictures of it, and whether it's in the general's office or whether it's in a museum. I know they had it in the museum, the new museum, but I don't know. I mean, online, if it's on there. But I could eventually – I have copies of the painting. I could eventually put it up on screen when I, you know, learn how to do that. I mean, I have it on my computer, on the disc.
Right.
So maybe one day I'll be able to show everybody, but that's all I can do right now because I don't have it out anywhere. They may have a copy of it in their yearly edition of Le Tapis Blanc, the magazine, in the anniversary, the 130th anniversary. I think they did a whole thing on it. But I'll try to get a pic of it up so that maybe you could show it to people.
Yeah.
In fact, I think I could send you the picture via email, and then you could show it to anybody you want.
Sure. Oh, that would be great. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
Adam, did we answer all your notes and questions that you had? Because I don't see any other callers at the moment.
Well, no. My questions are wide-ranging, so, you know, it might be a distraction at this point, but... Gary has a question. What do the scriptures tell us to do with righteous anger?
Well, you want to answer that, Dan?
Well, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about it. The only time that you're admonished not to let righteous indignation let loose with it is if you're interfering with God's will, as Peter did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because think about it, Peter tried to decapitate that guard with his sword, and Christ did not tell him to get rid of his sword or admonished him for even trying to decapitate him. What he said was, you're interfering with what has to happen. So put the sword back in the sheath, and he healed the guard. Okay? Only because of that, not because that, you know, because he did tell him at times, I'm telling you, I'm sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. And that's why he told them also in the book of Luke to if they have to, sell some of their garments. And remember, they traveled. Garments were the only thing they had with them. They didn't have possessions. So if they had to, sell one of your coats or your garments to get a sword. So, you know, the idea that we don't have a right to righteous indignation is a modern-day Judeo-Christian lie that's foisted upon the enemy, foisted that on us because we have a bunch of pansy waste preachers today that don't know the word of God at all. And they're telling us that it's unchristlike to be angry, yet Christ himself showed anger and righteous indignation many times, and so did the disciples. All of our ancestors for the past 2,000 years have shown many instances of righteous indignation against evil. So the idea that we're supposed to sit on our ass and allow these wicked to rule over us is ludicrous. No, there is no backing for that. In fact, we're more in jeopardy of judgment for not showing righteous indignation than we are for showing it.
Yeah, and I'll add in, I know God will forgive me for my foul mouth, and I know it's not a good thing to add in with my anger, but anger and being angry at what's happening right now is necessary. You may not have to follow it with foul language, but being angry is very important now because there's a lot of horrific things happening right now. And if you're complacent, it's exactly what the enemy wants. They want you to be complacent and silent. They want you to think you're going to be raptured out of this mess while everybody else suffers. It's a lie. And we need to be angry. The reason why we are in this position is because not enough of us were angry. Not enough of us held these politicians to task. Tell them to represent Christians. Represent us. Do something about the Christians that are being persecuted all over the world. You notice there's never any outcry about that? And the Christians in South Africa, they're very devout Christians, white Christians. They're a minority, and they're being snuffed out. And they're being discriminated against and be turned into being poverty-stricken into refugee camps. No outcry from the world. Trump tweeted about it once. Big deal. He didn't even do anything. That's why I wanted to be the South African ambassador. I was going to do something about it. But, you know, again, I don't want to wander off. But, yes, we need to be angry, but you got to be careful with that as well. Just be righteous in your anger. If you see something happening that's unrighteous in front of you, it's our obligation to do it, whether it's calling it out or physically getting involved. If you see an old lady getting beat up by five thugs, what are you going to do? Are you going to not be angry about that? You know? So yes, we can be angry. I think a lot of, like you said, that Judeo crap is just, they want Christians. This is what they want. They want you to not believe in Jesus. First of all, they want you to think that you always have to turn the other cheek. That was mainly for us against other Christians that you would call your enemy. They want you to think you're going to be raptured so you don't have to do anything. And they want you to think that, you know, you got to be silent like a little sheep and just make money and just follow everything they tell you to do. That's bullshit. We would have never survived as Christians if we did that. We wouldn't have gotten here.
Yeah, amen. Well, think about it. General George S. Patton and General Douglas MacArthur were both men of faith. Both of them read the Bible. Both of them expected their officers to behave in a Christian manner. Etc. So, you know, and yet they were warriors. They had no problem with defeating what they thought were bad people. It's a shame it took General Patton to find out at the end of the war that he had been duped like everybody else and lied to by the Jews that have infiltrated the government by that time into killing the very people who were trying to stop the damn communists.
Yeah, and look what happened to Patton. He mysteriously died, and what happened to MacArthur? They kind of silenced him too, didn't they, in some way?
Yeah, he sort of just drifted into the woodwork and didn't make much noise. I don't know how they got to him, but they obviously silenced him. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what Patton was all about, to send a warning to the other staff officers that if you think you're going to come back to the United States and tell the truth about the war, took a four-star general out. We can take anybody out.
That's right. Did you hear about the thing about Patton being alive in the hospital?
Yes.
And he was like, later he just died from something like, you know what I'm saying?
He was poisoned.
So he was killed in the hospital. So they definitely took him out. He was assassinated for his beliefs because at the time, America was basically allied with Soviet Union, our enemy.
Right.
And you know, also about communism, America also made China a superpower. We made them a superpower with buying all our goods and shipping all our work out there. Okay? And you know what's funny? And we could leave it off. Look at the Vietnam War in Korea. We run out there and say we want to stop the domino theory of communism, but yet Eastern Europe was completely taken over by the Soviets, and we didn't care about them, right?
Oh, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't make sense.
America facilitated communism in China, in the Soviet Union by allowing it, in Eastern Europe, and now in the United States. And the whole West now. It's a communist-style government run by Jews. Same thing as Bolshevik Russia. Angela Merkel is Jewish. Did you know that?
Yes.
Her name is Rebecca Kasner. She was a communist and part of the Stasi. She calls her, and she's head of the Democratic Christian Party. She's not even a Christian, and she leads the Christians. And look at all, and that Sarkozy was Jewish, saying we needed to mix with everybody. All
and these Macron.
And Boris Johnson is part Jewish. Did you know that?
Yeah, and so is Macron of France.
Yeah, so we're being ruled by Jews, and that doesn't wake anybody up. Even if people recognize it, they're so afraid. Oh, I don't want to be called an anti-Semite. God forbid. Oh, my God. Jesus called him the synagogue of Satan. Jesus is an anti-Semite according to the world. Okay?
Yep.
I'm being hyperbolic, but that's what they would call him. And he was crucified for it. You know?
Well, that reminds me of another Taylor Caldwell quote where she said, mankind adores its betrayers and murders its saviors.
Yep.
And that's in her book, Captains and the Kings. Taylor Caldwell, by the way, is a female author, and she wrote these books clear back almost 100 years ago, early 1900s. So, you know, this isn't new. She knew about this crap almost 100 years ago. So
yeah.
It's been going on for a while.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is not a plan that just got hatched out now because Trump was voted out of office or was stolen the election. This shit has been working a long time. The scary part is they're not hiding it. That's the part that, you know, what did Jesus say? He said when their time is short, they're going to get even more vicious, you know?
Exactly. I just saw another quote. This is another book she wrote, The Captains and the Kings, from 1974, apparently. But she says here, do not believe for an instant that the world's conspiring elite in every nation have so much as a serious quarrel among them. They have just one object, control through tribute, or you could say taxes. Your slavery through tribute and mine, behind this attack are the self-styled elite, secure in their own power and riches. To be effective, we must direct our attacks on the real criminals, the wealthy and powerful and secret elite of all the world, the conspirators laboring day and night to enslave us. Hallelujah. Right on the money.
Wow. That's pretty well enlightened. Jeez,
yeah.
That's pretty good for even now. Well, people don't realize this word capitalism. I hate that word. If people have worked and sold things and made money since the beginning of money. They never needed it. Capitalist means your God is money. That's what all it is. Everybody right. wants to aspire to be rich. Why? You know, the Bible says be content with such things that you have, but we're never content. It's always, oh, we need more. It's that greed. It's that capitalist greed. It doesn't make you a communist or a socialist. It just means I'm not affiliated with anybody. I am not a political party, and I don't put a fucking ISK at the end of my name, okay? I'm my own man. I'm not going to let them fucking label me, you know? And again, if people don't see that the top 10 of Biden's picks are all Jews, how could you? And he's the one who said diversity is a good thing and the browning of America is good, remember?
Oh, I, my feathers got ruffled when I heard that as well. It's like, when is this asshole ever going to say anything about whites? Yet his whole term, 4 years that jerk was in office, never said a damn thing that was positive about the white race. We got another caller. We got Elka and Gary out there in San Diego. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, how are you this morning, Pastor?
I'm hanging in there.
That's good. I heard you guys were talking about our natural enemy that a lot of people think that are God's chosen people. And sad commentary about this is if you go to say anything about it, you can become everybody's enemy. because they think these people are so wonderful. Do they think the Rothschilds are so wonderful, or the Rockefellers, or any of those other rich ones, Bill Gates, think they're wonderful? They're so wonderful they want to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's they have what they've done to us is taken away our right to speak. If we speak about them or anything they do, you guys have been discussing what they'll do. They'll take a 5-star general out. That's it. Well, Patton was a 4-star general. They took him out. And there's other people they've taken out. Kennedy. These guys shot him. Who do you think shot him? It was the Jews. These guys, they are the ones that hung our Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, you know, you can't. I heard you talk about anger. I wonder if Jesus was angry when he threw the money changers out of the temple.
That's right.
You know, I mean, and he whipped them.
Yep.
So there is time. These guys are our enemy. People got to realize that. These guys are our enemy, but you have to be careful, because what you'll do, let's say you're in a group and you all are going after something, and it's a righteous thing that you're going after, and all of a sudden you speak out against the Jews, all of a sudden everybody will turn against you because you've been taught that they are God's chosen people. That's a contradiction in itself. I mean, how can you take Elka? How can you take a people that hate our Savior and call them His chosen people? And then you go to the Bible, you go to 8:44, John, and you hear what he thinks of those chosen people, and it's mysterious. The power that they hold over people's money and mind.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know what else, though? You try telling that to other Christians, and they'll call you an anti-Semite. They'll shut you down. A lot of Christians, Zionist Christians, believe that. They think
that. I just said that's what I was talking about. That, you know, we know this one girl. This she believes in Christ so much that she lives in the streets. You know, and you wouldn't know it by seeing her, because she shows what a person that believes in Jesus can do, excepting she believes that the Jews are God's chosen people. I told her, I said, look right here in the Bible. Look what it says. You know, it's right in the, I mean, Jesus could stand right here and tell them that, and they wouldn't believe him.
That's right.
That shows you how brainwashed they are.
Yep.
Gary.
That's why.
I was just going to say, because I think Gary's talking about an email thread that I actually did exactly that. I called out the Jew because somebody in the thread referenced a nasal spray that's reportedly able to kill 99.whatever% of this stupid corona hoax, and it was from the Israeli Times, and I just couldn't let that fly, so I called her out, and about 4 people bailed off the email thread, and I felt stupid for a minute, but then in hindsight, what are we waiting for? I'm going to sit by and let that lie for potentially a poison get recommended on a thread of maybe 100 people? I don't think so. So in hindsight, I don't, you know, maybe I can't participate in that thread, but I'm tired of sitting by while that kind of lie gets pushed out, you know. So, anyway, I just wanted to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got to be very careful in how you handle the situation, because I've noticed, you know, I've been around people and in discussions, I never discuss the Jews, because all you're going to do is chase people away. I might do something one-on-one, but in a group, never. Because what you're going to do is you're going to find half of that group thinks the Jews, you know, you got to kiss their ass all the time.
But you know what, though? You can't let that fear of losing those people get in the way of the truth. Because if you're going to do the truth and you do it with facts, if they walk away, let them walk away. I would say we don't need them, because if they're going to believe a lie, they're just going to get in the way of any truth that you want to talk about. That's just my perception of the thing.
Well, if you, let's say you have a group and you're going up against something else, okay, and it might be tax, it could be that, you know, or it could be the face mask that you have to wear, or any of these things, okay, so you have a group of people and that's what you're there all about, and all of a sudden a little bit of religion comes in, and then they bring up, you know, God's chosen people, and you don't want to say anything. What you'll do is you'll chase them away, and you need their help. You know, so this is where it comes into, you guys discern. There's discernment out there, and you have
well,
to have
everybody
it.
Has to. Everybody has to handle it in the way they think it think necessary. I mean, you can handle it that way, but to be honest with you, if people believe things like that, and if they're going to be so arrogant as to walk away when I give them the truth, they can walk away. I don't care. But I understand what you're saying. You know, that if that's how you want to handle it. Everybody has their own talent and way to handle things. I don't think there's just one way, but I talk to this stuff up to Jews that I know, and they believe and they listen. So obviously I must have a talent to explain to them, say, look, I don't hate you personally, but I hate what this guy's doing and what these other Jews are doing. And they listen. So it's sometimes you really have to be bold in the truth. But I understand it doesn't have to be brought up in every circumstance or every conversation, but I'm certainly not going to hide from it if it is brought up, you know?
Right.
Well, I think what I'm trying to share here is not that they bring it up, it's if I bring it up, you know, and you don't need to do, you know, or I don't. I can't speak for you, but I know that I don't need to do that. You know, if I get in a conversation with somebody like this one person here, she goes to a lot of meetings and that I belong to, and her and I always get in arguments over the Jews. Even I show her a picture, I say, you know, guess who killed Jesus? The Jews. I says, right here, 844. What does he have to say there? And there's other parts. They are not God's chosen people, you know, unless they've chosen to pick up our crap. That's about it. Because they're vicious people. You take the United States, as we spoke about earlier, in World War II. Look how, except for the Japanese, because they are Asian people, they're not our people. But the Germans and all our other enemies, who broke down for Christmas and had a Christmas celebration? No war, no nothing, while Christmas was on. Certainly wasn't the Jews, wasn't the Japanese, it was the Caucasians or the Israelites. And this is one of the things that's really strange. Why, you know, we don't hold enemies. We treat, the Germans treated, just like we do, the prisoners of war correctly. Now you get to where the nastiness is, that comes from the Jew. Jews are a nasty, vicious people. They're no good. You know, but I can't go tell somebody that, oh, they're wonderful. You think Bill Gates is wonderful? What a piece of crap. You know, you think...
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you could have validity to what you're saying, but they'll just shut you right down. Because it's amazing how you can say, oh, the mafia, they're filled with vicious Sicilians or Italians. Yeah, those guys are horrible. You can say that. You wouldn't be anti-Italian. But yet, if you mention, look what Fox News did when Newt Gingrich mentioned George Soros. He didn't even mention he was Jewish. They shut him right down. They think it's anti-Semitic. It's unbelievable. You cannot allow a race of people to be able to do all kinds of evil things, and you can't even question it. It doesn't even have to be that they're Jewish. You can't even question it because they're all powerful and Jewish. You hear about that poor old woman and the guy in Canada and all over Europe that go to prison, 80-year-old women go to prison for just talking about the Holocaust. in the not regular way that they want you to talk about it, they put you in jail. That's unacceptable. That's
We have to remember one thing I think we forget about. This is why we have to go to our Savior to talk about these things. They have a very powerful leader in Lucifer. He's very powerful. And we forget that he's there. And these are his people. And he's going to protect his people, and he does. And he's aggressive against Jesus Christ people. You know, he said he's out to kill us. And we're noticing that. And he's doing a pretty decent job of it right now, from what I can see. But when Christ steps in, that's when there's going to be a difference. Because I did read, I think, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where it says that two-thirds of them is going to fall, one-third of us will stand. So that's we need our master to come back. Because these guys are getting really nasty out there.
We're supposed to be his right now. We're supposed to be doing his will on earth right now. We were supposed to occupy till he returned. That's a military term, meaning you don't get to sit on your ass and pray about it. You actually occupy. It's a military term. And what we have to start doing is what that meme I keep sending out is, stop worrying about waking up sheep. Wake up the damn lions. Mm-hmm. It's time for the lions to wake up and roar, and then things will get better. When we start acting like we are the winners, our king is more powerful than their leader, Lucifer. But we have allowed ourselves to be turned into a bunch of cucks and a little soy boys, sitting back, biting our nails, oh, woe is me, Satan's kids are doing this, Satan's kids are doing that. When we were given the dominion, all we have to do is take hold of it. All we have to do is proclaim our king as sovereign and that we're here to kick ass. If you don't like our king being king, what does the book of Luke say in chapter 19 about those that don't want Christ to rule over them? He said, bring them in front of me and slay them. That's in your New Testament, you little pansies out there that don't want to read the Old Testament. That's in your New Testament. Luke, chapter 19, verse 27. We forgot about that.
Where's the Rams at? You know, forget the Lions. Where's the Rams? I don't see them.
Well, I mean, let's go with the Lions.
The Lions are over the Rams, but we don't even have any Rams.
Well, that's true, but the Rams are looking for Lion leaders. That's what our people have been lacking. Just like Alexander the Great said, he feared an army of sheep led by lions. So the enemy has convinced our lions to sit in caves and sit on their ass, being afraid of being called names. Lions need to stand up and say, okay, all you sheep, get your damn swords and shields out. Let's go.
Well, the quickest thing, or you'll see it, and I know your listeners will say it, if somebody comes up to you and you mention something about the Jews, and they, well, you're an anti-Semite. All you have to say is, yes, I am. According to the way you look at Semite, I am a Shemite. I'm from Shem. They're not. They're from Cain. I don't know why you get called them Shemites when they're from Cain. They're Canaanites. They're Canaanites and Edomites. So why would I be ashamed of myself? Of course not. According to you, I'm anti-Jew. You're right.
But again, you're wasting your time, Gary. You're wasting your time. Sheep are sheep. Sheep are never, ever going to be convinced of anything. Stop wasting your time. Look for the lions and wake the lions up. If people today can't see what the hell's going on, do you think they're ever going to wake up?
No.
So let's focus on the people that are awake, and I call them lions that we have today. Screw the sheep.
Well, they'll wake up when those people that they're protecting, that they call God's chosen people, are shoving a rusty shovel up their rear end. They might wake up then.
No, they're not going to wake up even then, because now they're sticking a swab up their ass because the Jew told them to do it. So that you put a spade or a shovel there, it's still not going to wake them up. Forget the brain-dead sheep. We shouldn't even be talking about the sons of bitches, all right? If they're that stupid that they haven't seen what the hell's going on at this point, why are you wasting any time with them? I would not argue with them. In fact, like I said at the beginning of the program, we should be encouraging them to put triple masks on with a face shield, get their ass swabbed out, and then get a double injection of the vaccine. Maybe even get a third and a fourth just to make sure. That's what we should be telling the sheep. So Yahweh can take them out of our way faster. Stop telling them not to do it. Tell them to go get it. It's a good idea. All of you damn sheep, put four or five masks on. In fact, why don't you suffocate yourself? Why don't you put a plastic bag around your frickin' neck and tie it off and do the world a favor?
Yeah. Well, you know what it is, too? It's the worst, most cussed people I've ever met were Zionist Christians. They hate me with a passion because I show them scriptures to prove where they're wrong. They hate me with a passion because the truth is there, and they got to pick one. You got to pick one side, and that's what Jesus wants. He wants you to be hot for him. He said, what does the Old Testament say? The righteous are as bold as lions. The wicked flee when no one pursues them. We don't fucking hide anymore. We got to stop hiding, and the truth should not be hidden anymore.
Yeah, Ralph just put a good thing in the comment here. So of a 100 white men, you will get one lion, 9 rams, 80 sheep, and 10 gophers. That's about the right ratio. Okay, so for every centurion who's a lion, he'll have 9 warriors, he'll have 80 targets, and then 10 guys that aren't worth a damn. Cowards, cucks, soy boys, get rid of them.
And just to say another thing, whatever we have been doing hasn't worked up till now, because we're being fucking destroyed and silenced, so it hasn't worked. So I guess I've never been quiet. I've always been a fucking loudmouth when it comes to the truth. I've always done that. Always. But again, it hasn't worked for us to be quiet or for people to be quiet. It just hasn't worked. And just everybody needs to know this. The Christian white male is the number one target of the world global system. Once you snuff us out or try to, taking over the rest of the world is easy. They're afraid of a few of us. They really are. That's why we've always been the target. They're afraid.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, guys, we got almost 2.5 hours into it. We should probably pick this up in another broadcast. Gary, do you have any closing comments?
No, I just want people to understand, like you just said, it's a waste of time to go talk to them. So even if you're a bunch of them, don't say anything, because you're just going to get everybody pissed at you. Yeah, I don't need that. Let them go get pissed at themselves. Some of them will wake up when the rusty shovel is being shoved up the wrong end, and that's going to happen. You know, these idiots are going around with these masks on and all that shit. You know, a lot of people don't like that mask shit. You know, they dislike the mask more than they do the Jew, and they don't know who the Jew is. They don't know who the enemy is, because the church has told them contrary. You know, when I went to church and I started, you know, going in there, I can remember when I was a kid with my grandmother, she hated the Jews. And she was a Catholic. And she hated the Jews. And then when I went to church, they started telling me how they're God's chosen people. And I went up to the pastor one time and says, how come my grandmother, she's dead now because she was 90, well, in her late 90s when she passed away. She hated Jews all the way, you know, till when she died. And that's the way everybody that hung out with her, who were old Christians, they thought about the Jews. I asked the pastor, why is it now we're different? He says, well, we've learned shit. That's what we learned.
No, but they sold out.
The Jews, that's Cain. And what did Cain do to Abel? He murdered him. So that's what we're dealing with, people that will murder you.
Yep. Amen. Well, thanks for calling in, Gary.
Okay, y'all bless.
Y'all bless. Chris, any comments?
No.
All righty. Adam, any final comments?
Well, I just appreciate the fiery conversation. James, hopefully you'll be back on soon, because I know there's a lot more to discuss when it comes to where to start this art project and becoming organized, maybe even legally, to fight back in some fashion. And then I want to talk more about the CSPOA, if you are back on. So those are three things that come to mind. And thank you all for your thoughts.
Sure. Thank you for allowing me to speak and to, you know, yell and scream. I appreciate that you guys understand that. And I will come on the show anytime you guys want. I hope that there's a good, a good audience to speak to. And we will take this conversation up in the future, and hopefully some fruit will come from it. I think we can make this happen. We just need the right people to make it happen, and God's blessings.
Yep. Amen. If we build it, they will come, and He will bless it. I fully believe that.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. All right, James, thanks a lot. And for the folks that want to get a hold of James, instead of putting out any personal information, just send me a note. I will forward it to James, and he can get a hold of you in the future. So, again, James, thanks a lot, buddy. I know it's a passionate thing for you, and passionate men sometimes let loose with some fiery language, but it's certainly time for it. We've been trying to be so-called prim and proper, almost feminine in our behavior, because let's face it, we've allowed women to rule the roost and rule the churches for as long as I've been alive. The men have taken a back seat, basically, denutted themselves in a way, disenfranchised themselves from their proper position as leaders and kings and lions. We've become little docile sheep and allowed our feminine side and our children and enemies to come in and rule over us. And it's time, as you said in the one program that we did, James, you said it's time for us to be lions again. And I believe that 100%.
And if whenever we have the truth, we need to shout it from the housetops. I will go down dying, shouting it from the housetops.
Amen. Never be afraid of the truth. And that was, and Christ said that too. He said that, we stand for the truth even unto death. So,
amen.
So, all right, James. Thanks a lot, buddy. And I'm sure you'll be back on very soon.
I will. Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, take care, buddy. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, James Lancia, author of the book Downtown White Police. I would highly recommend it. I have my copy. It's an interesting, very interesting read of what James has been through. You want to talk about a good role model for our young men, James Lancia certainly would be one. And for the people that are triggered by the rough language, it didn't seem to bother anybody when the Jewish comedians were denigrating white people on television and using vulgar language and sexual innuendo, demeaning the white race, demeaning the white culture, and especially the white man. So if you're going to take offense about something, get offended by the Jew and the nonsensical things that they do. Don't take it out on our men that are willing to be men. So, Monica's husband up there in Canada, Frank, is another James Lancia up there in Western Canada. Probably one of these days we should probably have him come on too. Is again, examples for our men, what real men are that have actually been in combat, actually have had to wrestle with people with weapons trying to hurt them. A lot of armchair warriors out there, these guys have actually been in the trenches and fought real wars. big difference between reality and what's in video games and on television, these black boxes, images controlled by the beast system. So, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with one another. We thank you for James Lancia and for the callers. Men trying to be men again in a world that's trying to put us down. White men trying to rise up after they've been subjugated and abrogated of all their rights and God-given rights and God-given authority in their homes, in the business world, and in society. We have a lot to be ashamed of as we've turned our backs on our duties, and we do pray, Father, that you would put your spirit upon all flesh. Wake our men up, wake our ladies up, wake our children up. Wake the world up to the fact that there is an enemy who wants to subjugate all of mankind in this dystopian world run by these sick and demented creatures. Yahweh put us here as an army to resist the devil and all his wiles, and we have not been doing that. So raise us up again, Father, to be worthy, to be called Christian, to be followers of the Christ, the Messiah, Yahshua HaMashiach, and stop being such timid little sheep walking around afraid of our own shadows. Again, we repent of our many misgivings. We repent of seeking leadership by earthly men who are corruptible and evil in their own right instead of looking to you for salvation. Obviously, Trump was a false messiah. Obviously, the whole MAGA thing was to look to the political system to solve problems created by the political system. That was our mistake. We should be looking to you and you alone, and your sons and daughters will bring real rectification of the problems in this world where these other people are just playing games and putting out kabuki theater to make it look as if they're trying to solve a problem when in fact they are the problem. They have no reason to change this world. They profit by this dystopian nightmare that we find ourselves in. So only your people can make true and honest change and bring justice and peace upon this earth. And with that will come prosperity for one and all. Not wealth. We don't need wealth. We just need to be left alone and to allow each man to keep the fruits of his own labors, which the governments today want to tax away and enslave us, as Taylor Caldwell said in her book. Again, much to repent, much to be sorry for, and we ask again for forgiveness and for your righteous Holy Spirit to indwell upon us and guide our very thought and deed on a daily basis. And we ask always for your protection against our enemies, and we ask all this in Yahweh's name. Hallelujah.